Dear fellow redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his grace and his mercy and his peace be yours now and forever. Amen. Paul wrote in our text, "No one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit." And who is this Lord? Your attention is drawn briefly this morning to that very familiar 53rd chapter of Isaiah. We focus our attention especially on verse 8. "By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due?" This is our text. Remembering back to childhood mischief. Did you grow up in a neighborhood? Remember the neighborhood playmates? I remember mine. Somehow it seems as in so many neighborhoods as in mine, it always had an introverted kid on the block, often rather an unbecoming, strange, it seemed to many of us, in appearance. Maybe he was a little too fat or a little too skinny. Maybe he wore glasses or had big ears. But he always identified with the kids on the block. Because you see, he lived there too. The problem so often, however, was that the kids on the block seldom identified with him. He was just there, but not particularly accepted. Sometimes when the group got into mischief, one exasperated parent would see the group, perhaps in the context of a broken window or a messed up garage, and the parent would ask the question, "And who is responsible for this?" And the group would point to the weird kid, and they would say, "He did it." And the kid would passively, without protest or without much protest, take the rap. He is what we will affectionately call the scapegoat. The scapegoat for the neighborhood kids on the block, put forth by the group at various important times of mischief to bear the judgment, the alienation, and the consequences of its collective misbehavior. The weird kid was always somehow left holding the bag all alone. Children grow up. Those on the neighborhood move away. We too move from our neighborhoods, pass into the realm of the adult world. And yet how often such a pattern persists in life. Only often what we call it in the world of adults is buck passing. The shifting of blame onto others and not facing, but rather seeking to escape the consequences of our irresponsible behavior. Seeking to escape that, especially in the face of judgment and authority. Buck passing, seeking a scapegoat, is as old as creation itself. Think back to Genesis 3. Adam, when faced with his own rebellion against God, sought to pass the buck on to Eve. Let her bear the burden of guilt, judgment, punishment. But would Eve take that? Certainly not, as we see that she follows in kind, blaming it all on the serpent. How about you? Do you often seek a scapegoat? For your failures, for your missing the mark in the challenges of daily living, do you often succumb to the temptation of seeking to find a scapegoat or endeavoring to pass the buck? I know it is a reality that often plagues my life. Why do we do it? Are we not convinced that the consequences of our wrongdoing are not in our best interests? Do we not have some type of a deep-seated conviction that the penalty and the punishments that truly are due us, and we know they are due, threaten to cancel and deprive us of our ultimate goal? The ultimate goal of our personal happiness and well-being, and the personal unhappiness-seeking individual, is a contradiction in term. And what alternatives are there to buck passing, to finding a scapegoat that we may offer? One avenue, of course, that has been set forth is reform yourself. Become upright in thought, in word, and in deed. We know that man has struggled, has set forth any number of programs to endeavor, enable to do just this, that in the words of St. Paul, all have sinned, all have failed, and fallen short of that glory that we seek like unto God. Try as we can, seek as we do, to try to reform. The more we put in the effort, the more we realize the necessity that a reformation is necessary and yet lacking. Our scapegoats fail to satisfy our deepest needs. Our efforts to reform fail to accomplish their final objective. What answer have we but that put forth by our text? For you see, in the neighborhood of this world, God in human history put a new kid on our block. One who in many ways was regarded to be the weird kid, who grew up in wisdom and in stature. One who so much identified with us, but who so often was not identified with. One whom God used in an incredible plan, employing just that kind of an individual that we have sought to employ so often in our own life, the scapegoat. We well know the paradigm of the scapegoat in the Old Covenant, the goat, the one who would bear that sin-laden blood in isolation, thrust from the community. And yet we know it was but the blood of a lamb, hardly capable any more than our own temporal scapegoats of truly bearing the burden of our own guilt and rebellion. And yet God reaches into this world, not sending any son, just simply from our own block to be the scapegoat, but sending his own son into the world to be one of us, whom in our text was offered up by us in oppression and in affliction, as he was taken away and cut off from our generation. And yet in that drama, God sets forth his own scapegoat for us to bear the full weight and the full burden of our guilt. An infinite scapegoat. Not a little skinny kid on our block, not a goat out of our pastures, but the eternal Son of God. A truly worthy scapegoat. One truly capable of bearing our collective transgressions, that we might have what we long for in our deepest reaches of the heart. That personal happiness and well-being, a happy forever, which comes from the full and total and complete reconciliation that God has given to all of us in the drama of the cross. He was taken away under oppression and the judgment of men, separated and cut off from his generation, and yet not simply a mere human scapegoat, a divine God's scapegoat. In this, we have peace with God. And in this, we have the possibility of peace with ourselves and one another. As we carry out our labors and challenges in life, in our own neighborhood, where children and adults play, work, and labor. Let us point them to the only real scapegoat there is in life and in death, that of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in him we shall live, and only in him. God grant us that message, that reality, where we live, where we labor, and where we play. Amen.